Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, I know I mentioned that we could maybe digitally remove Donald Trump from our lives. So that's not actually a possibility, I'm afraid to break it to you. But in Hollywood, it is a possibility, because you may know he famously makes this appearance in Home Alone 2, where he gives directions to the child star for how to leave the Plaza Hotel. But the producer of that, the movie director, Chris Columbus, he actually would like to try and digitally remove him from it. And there's loads of people who would love him to do that as well. It's not as easy as it seems, though. And I'll tell us more about it. Brian Lloyd, film critic and Movies and Booze panelist, joins us.
Hey.
I'll show you the photograph.
Oh, no, I know the scene very, very well, yeah. No.
That is Donald Trump, much younger Donald Trump, but it just looks like he's being drafted in from an alien planet.
Well, so the whole thing of it was that Chris Columbus, the director, was shooting in, as you say, at the Plaza Hotel in New York, and seemingly Trump's whole thing was that anytime there were cameras rolling on any of his properties, he would make a point to be there and essentially kind of say, look, listen, I'll do a little cameo for you as well while they're there. And it's famously enough, I think Oliver Stone did it in Wall Street, Money Never Sleeps, the sequel. They were shooting in one of Trump's properties, and Oliver Stone filmed a short little scene with Trump and Michael Douglas as Gordon Gekko, and they cut it out of the film and just put it in the deleted scenes. It was like, yeah, okay, we did it, Donald. All right, yeah, you got your scene. You got your little cameo. Okay, right, Grant, take it out of the film.
He could have been in Wall Street as well. That's absolutely jaw-dropping.
No, the sequel now, Money Never Sleeps.
Oh, okay,
Recent one with Shia LaBeouf. Yeah, 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 not the original one.
All right, fair enough. All right, it's not as horrible as that.
No.
But so he made this, because they were filming and he owned the Plaza, he said, I have to be in this.
Yeah, that's it. And that was always his thing, was that any time they were shooting anywhere near any of his properties, he would be there and make a point of like, look, I'll do a cameo for you. And by all accounts, like other directors have said this as well, he was an easy get.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of way, you call him up and he'd say, look, listen, can you just do a little cameo here? Like he was in, like, there was a remake of The Little Rascals in the 90s.
Yeah.
And he turned up for one scene in that as well. So like, he was just, you know, a whore for cameras, like, you know, that sort of way. He loved the attention.
Yeah.
And we're seeing that now.
Nothing has changed. So obviously, Chris Columbus would like him gone.
Yeah, so the story is that Christopher Columbus has basically said that if he had the chance to re-edit Home Alone, he would just cut that scene out. And to be fair, you know, it's one tiny little scene in the film. And in fact, the Canadian TV version of Home Alone removed that scene as well, because when they make an edit for television for certain films, they'll cut down on certain scenes. They might even speed up certain scenes as well. It's to try get it to basically fit into, you know, 30-minute blocks for ads and stuff like that. And one of the things they did was remove the scene, because it has no bearing on the story whatsoever. It's literally one little thing and it's gone.
It's very bizarre.
Yeah.
Very bizarre. But as time has gone by and he's become such a much more divisive figure, it stands out more and more when you do see it.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. When you see him turn up in a film, one, it ages it incredibly. You realize like, oh God, this was like in the 80s or something like that. But then also as well, this is the fact that, I mean, yeah, it's not even that he's a divisive. I mean, he's a fascist, like, you know, that sort of way. Would we allow, would people say, oh, you know, let's get like, I don't know, Pinochet in for a cameo or something
like that? I don't think he's quite in that level yet.
It ramps up,
fear,
though.
But Chris is saying that he would be afraid to edit him out.
He would, yeah, because I mean, Trump is so vindictive, isn't he? Like, I mean, that's the whole thing, like, is that like he's already, you know, directing his Department of Justice to go after like former aides that were critical of him. He's basically ignoring his Supreme Court has told him to bring back Calmer, Alberto Garcia.
Yeah, he has forms, no question about that. And you would be afraid, but he also has power. He's not afraid to use, and he's not afraid to use on the film industry as well, isn't he?
Not at all. I mean, he's appointed.
And they're running a bit nervous, I'd imagine, at the moment, are they?
They are. This is the thing, because I mean, certainly, but you know, in the US, you know, if a film is deemed quote unquote woke, there are large swathes of the American audience that will just not turn up for it, like, you know, in very kind of red states and stuff like that. And I mean, for example, like, and like the other thing as well is that studios are self-censoring themselves.
Yeah.
Like, and as an example, The White Lotus.
Living in Fear.
Yeah, yeah. Living in Fear, White Lotus. Carrie Coon's character in The White Lotus was supposed to have a non-binary child, and they cut that out when Trump won.
Oof, boy, word. Now, I know this has happened before, and a listener is asking about a thing that I was going to ask about anyway. Much more egregious than removing Trump is what George Lucas did with Han Solo in the re-release of the original Star Wars movie.
Yes, so in 1997, George Lucas essentially cracked open Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi, And the intention was to basically bring the film up to a standard that he felt it could be at. His whole argument was that 1977, then again in 1980, the technology didn't exist to see the film in the way that he wanted to do it. So he basically used then modern CGI to update certain scenes in the film. He added on certain scenes as well. He corrected colour grading. But one egregious scene was in A New Hope, when Harrison Ford's character is in this kind of little dive bar,
yeah,
and he gets accosted by a bounty hunter. Now, in the original film, what happens is Harrison Ford takes out his gun underneath the table and shoots the guy from underneath the table, kills him, sure, and walks away. What George Lucas did, and then subsequently made it even more noticeable in different versions of Star Wars, was he had the bounty hunter shoot first, and then he had Harrison Ford return fire. Because George Lucas's whole thing was that, oh, Han Solo, that was Harrison Ford's character, would never shoot first, that he was an honourable, right, character, which was complete crap.
Whereas reality, he wanted a more dark, it was, I mean, bit more to him character.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was kind of a Vulcan sort of like spaghetti westerns and stuff like that. And that it made sense for him to shoot first. Of course it did.
Texan, it's a bit like the BBC dubbing Gerry Adams' voice in the 80s. What would it achieve other than just being a little petulant snipe?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Like, I mean, to be fair, the Day Today, that great comedy series, did a great joke about it, where they had a Republican leader voiced by Steve Coogan inhale helium and then answer questions, like, you know, that kind of way. Like, yes, that was the level of stupidity that the BBC was dealing with in the 80s and 90s.
It's not that big a deal, though, is it? It's only there for a minute or two, Trump being on there.
The Trump thing, no. I mean, like, look, it is what it is. I mean, you know, to deny it would be to deny the fact that once upon a time he was considered a socially acceptable part of culture, like, you know, anyway.
Long way we've gone from that now. Mm. But that said, in the whole world of cutting things out, once a film is released, they really, airlines and stuff, do whatever they want with it.
Oh,
don't
yeah,
they?
100%. Yeah, yeah. Like, you look and say, for example, like in, I think it's Etihad. And maybe Emirates, you know, like, they'll edit down certain films, like they'll remove like sort of sexually suggestive or sexually explicit scenes, which, to be honest, is totally fine. I have, like, I personally don't have a problem with that, because look, I could be sitting next to a child or something like that, and here I am watching, I don't know, Basic Instinct or something like that, and that kid can see the screen. I'm like, that's not on. Like, it's horrible.
Vision of hell. No. It could be your own child. That's worse again.
That's even worse again. Like.
Worse again. You don't want to be there. And on top of that, they also speed them up too, don't they?
That's right. But like, you would know this yourself. Like, I mean, like, from music and stuff like that. Like, there's the radio edit where they'll pitch it up and all the rest of it. And even like with, you know, like remasters, for example, like when all albums were being put onto CD, and you notice as well, they started like tweaking with the EQ and all the rest of it to make them kind of louder and all the rest of it. So when films were being edited for television, then being edited for DVD and Blu-rays, directors were kind of going back into it and saying, okay, well, I'm going to touch up the grade in here. I'm going to, you know, maybe extend this scene because I initially wanted this in and I couldn't have it now. So,
and you get used to it. You don't really mind.
You don't really. But it's funny, though. If you go watch certain films, if you've seen them on DVD or if you've seen them on Blu-ray, you've seen them on TV, and then you go watch them in 35mm, as in with an actual celluloid print, it is entirely different.
Yes.
It is. And I'm not just saying this. This isn't like one of these, like, you know, vinyl sounds better than CD or something like that. There is a marked, appreciable difference.
We were talking about the series of the David Lean movies are on in the IFI.
Yes.
Now, and that's 70, visual.
And that's what I'm saying to you. Like, something like Lawrence of Arabia or, you know, Bridge on the River Kwai, seeing that in 70mm, you haven't seen Lawrence of Arabia or Bridge on the River Kwai until you see it in 70mm print. And it's incredible.
Makes you appreciate that an awful lot of what you see on streaming services, phones, in travel, it's just they're like MP3 versions.
It is,
really, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, and like, look, I get it. I mean, it's all, you know, it is. We live in an age of convenience. We live in an age of like instant gratification and stuff like that. So yeah, I can get my phone out right now, and in 5 minutes I can have Lawrence of Arabia playing away in it, and it'll be great. And it'll be fine. But I'm not seeing it in the way that it was intended. I'm not seeing it in the way that it should be seen. And that's, I think, something.
The whole world's going back to vinyl, Brian. Tell me.
Listen, and do you know what? The first vinyl, the only vinyl factory in Ireland is in my own hometown of Clane County Kildare. So very proud of that. Oh, yeah.
Very good. George would be delighted. I think Trump is going to stay in there.
I think that's going to be there.
That's just, he's Trump is for Christmas. Brian, thank you very much indeed. Lovely talking to you.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.